Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host and producer, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for each and every one of you who could and have chosen to join us tonight on this March 10th, 2020. We're back. We took a moment out to have some much-needed R&R. And we're back, and we are here to open up more dialogue and move forward. Let me just say that our schedule for this week was to be remotely at the East Nashville Library Branch. However, you may know that Nashville, sadly, was hit by a tornado, and we still send our condolences to the lives, that were lost, both here in Nashville and in the other areas that were hit, North Nashville, East Nashville, parts of Donelson Hermitage, as I understand, in Mount Juliet, and another county, but it was pretty devastating. And there are people working tirelessly now to try to help those affected get back to some normalcy. We do want to continue to keep them in our prayers and lift them up and even encourage Nashville in general. We've been through storms before. We can make it through this one as well. Having said that, we won't be doing our remote at that location, but just follow us on Facebook. We might be doing live things. We got a couple of events scheduled this week where we'll be out and about, but we do anticipate being able to have our podcast on Thursday, just maybe in our regular location, but we're hoping to be able to live stream from some remote location. All right. Having said that, again, we want to thank all of our regular listeners out of Chicago, out of St. Louis, out of Peoria, Illinois, out of Jacksonville, Florida, out of Selma, Alabama, and other places right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you. I anticipate that Pastor Ricky Waller will be joining us here very shortly. But most importantly, we thank you, our regular listeners, far and near, wherever you're listening from, the podcast on blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute or right here on Facebook, you're following. Thank you. Our website, BFC, that's Bravo Fox Charlie, BFCInstitute.com. It's where you can learn a little bit more about the podcast and what our purpose and function is. There's also a way by which you can shoot us an email, communicate with us, or give me a call off air. The number that we give tonight, 657-383, is the number into the studio so that you can participate with us live here in the studio. And, of course, with our live stream, we're able to share that with those that are following us on Facebook Live, as well as calling into the studio on the podcast. The number is 657-383-0944. 657-383-0944. We thank you again in advance. And so if you're just tuning in to us, Talk Straight is a national dialogue. And for the last, now we're in our fourth year, we have been focusing on social economic issues that directly impact and affect youth, urban American youth, and by extension, their families. Our quest is to offer dialogue, communication, information that is instructive, sometimes critical, but constructively critical, right, of certain issues, certain circumstances. At the end of the day, what we want to do is to be able to have wholesome dialogue that leads to transformative change. All right? And so that's what the talk show was designed. 4 years ago, we were engaged in a lecture series where we were going from different cities. Some of the cities you hear participating with us were our target cities, okay? And in the past, we've had guests from those cities. We've asked them to help us to get there and share our information and things of that nature. But since then, we've evolved to, we have an initiative here local to Nashville. We're back in our home base in Nashville, Tennessee, and we've been promoting Parent Choice Network, and we've been taking, we have two shows Tuesday night, and typically we ran from 7 to 9, but we modified that. This past couple of months, we were on Tuesday nights from 6 to 7:30 because we were at remote location that we scheduled. As I mentioned earlier, due to the tornado, our remote has been somewhat changed because that library was hit pretty bad. In fact, East Nashville was hit pretty bad. So having said that, just follow us on Facebook for announcements or go to the website, bfcinstitute.com. Feel free to shoot us a question or comment there. We'll be happy to respond to you. All right. Having said that, we will get into our monologue. So we do a monologue, and the monologue is designed to give you context for what our conversation is. Sometimes we get heated, and we have some really good conversation flowing. We want to make sure you get something out of it. You walk away at the end of the show with something, all right, something substantive. So what we'll do is we'll ground ourselves with a general topic, and we'll have a point where we can come back to. We don't get all over the place. So if I ask you to kind of bring it back, please don't be offended. Just understand we want, for the sake of all of our listeners, want to make sure we have a central point of focus. All right? So we're done good. Man, that's all right. That's all right. Everything's good. Everything's good. Now, in light of the many social conflicts that are exhibited by African-American youth across urban America, it seems quite clear that there is a gap between the previous generations. Let's go back from 1940 to 50, 60, 70, we'll even say 1980, and this present generation. Those prior generations represent the elders or older decades of experience. But there's a gap between this current generation. Sometimes they call millennials a Generation Z. We were in X, but now we're looking at just, I'm not sure if we want to stick to all that, but not, you understand what I'm saying. Certain information hasn't passed down to them, so young people seem to be literally starting all over, shooting from the hip, trying to find a sense of purpose. Many of the things that they do are not well-based in reality, though. right? There seems to be a major difference in opinion and idea about how you maintain yourself from those early generations to now. Truth is, nothing has changed but the weather and the date. Same challenges. Interestingly enough, same subgroup of people, just a different generation. So tonight, I'd like for you to join me as we discuss this area of topic, balancing faith with action. Now, the older you are, the more likely it is that you believe that everything you do should be driven by faith. So I'm going to be very clear with you, faith in God. I tend to concur with that. While that is true, at the same time, it is also true that what we believe should line itself up with the reality of the times past and the present moment. So I certainly would not want to discourage anyone from being driven by their faith. However, it's vitally important that we're able to balance our belief with what's real, what's necessary, specifically if we don't want to continue to lose our young people. It's what the data is showing. Many of them are not going to church. They're not interested. You ask them, they ain't got nothing for me. They find their information via other sources. Social media is a major one. And quite often, that's some of the most confusing, misleading, and vile information they can turn to. Not in every case, but too often that's the case. Thus, our topic, balancing faith with action. Some people have given up on the whole notion of reaching young people and teaching them and encouraging them through faith teaching and practice. They've just given up on it, they've written off on it. They're a lost generation. I don't agree with that. I take issue with that. And maybe because I have taken a social scientific approach to addressing these ills, these matters, these challenges, these conundrums. I understand that, but I want you to follow me, if you will, as we think about this, and that's what the topic is tonight. So here we go, March 10, 2020. Time has already gotten past, man, I tell you, and we better watch out because it's going to get away from us again. It's not going to stop for us, beloved, and if we're not careful, a whole nother generation will be gone, and the next one coming up are going to be left to struggle over and over again. All right? James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17 reads like this. Consider this. What does it profit, my brother, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needed to the body, what does it profit them? If so, faith. If it has not works, is dead being alone. Wow. Now, Brother James went there, okay? Went there. If you don't have any actions behind your words about your faith and your belief, guess what? I think the writer here is right. It ain't no good to nobody. The fact is dead, lifeless, useless. Keep it to yourself. All right? Let's look at what faith is, and I don't want to insult anybody and tell you, but I'm going to offer a definition of faith. This kind of keep us grounded in our conversation here. Faith, I believe, can reasonably define, if you look it up in a dictionary, even if you Google it, you'll find a semblance to this meaning. It involves a belief or a trust, okay, demonstration of confidence, conviction in regards to some religious thought or idea, belief system. Strict adherence to a duty or a promise that has made, words or honor that is pledged for someone. That's what faith generally. Now, we know what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence things not seen, right? But I want to try to give a fairly common definition that I think we all can wrap our minds around. Now, let's look at that and parlay that to action. A deed, some sort of operation, watch this, a series of events, gestures, suit of, or process, some sort of engagement, or even a fight or battle in something, taking action. Notice what all of those are active words, verbs that are used to describe. You can't just sit down and do nothing. Say you believe, but we can't see it in your actions. Again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just trying to let you know why it is. It seems that with all the churches around, all these houses of God and places of worship, it seems as though they're collectively we are rendered useless when it comes to addressing the needs of young people struggling across urban America. Because we have to really look at, again, the fact that there's a need to balance what we say we believe or have faith in and what we do. Should you make the inquiry of anyone who is around 40 years or older, it's likely they'll say, in response to the question, what does it mean to have, quote, faith, unquote? They're likely to say something to the effect, believing that God is your Savior and that He will deliver, trusting that He will fix any and all of your circumstances and it will bring you peace and happiness. That sounds good. That sounds good. But try to catch a young cat in a fix on the street and get them to believe that. Now, this latter statement is a good philosophical stance, and it makes people together in worship feel pretty good amongst themselves, right? And watch this. Historically, that same mindset was used by slaves when they endured the perfidious institution of chattel slavery in America. They helped deal with the strain and stress by convincing themselves God was going to deliver them. Even after they came out of slavery, during the Jim Crow era, starting after 1865, they were subjugated to, again, decades of social economic oppression, despair in America. Oh, that's American history. You can't tell it truthfully without telling that, right? Well, when you look at the generations over the years, everybody says the same thing. We're trusting God to fix it. And one day, many will say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell him all about my trouble. Ain't nothing wrong with it. That's a testimony right there. But I want to let you know that you can be happy right here today. Just a few historical events currently within the last, let's say, 10, 20 years, within this generation. If you check somebody that's 18 or younger, and I'll even go to 30, 39, and start trying to have a conversation about them, you'll hear the same thing. You'll hear the same response automatically. What you hear is a lot of doubt, a lot of hesitation, a lot of guilt, and a lot of questions, right? Some people get angry that, and they say, well, you trusting, you questioning God. Don't you believe in the Lord? Don't you believe that God will deliver? Well, you have to put yourself in the shoes of 2006 when six black boys down in Gina, Louisiana, found themselves facing murder charges, or attempted murder charges, I'm sorry, simply because they defended themselves. 2012, national issue sparked with Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida. A victim of circumstance who was doing nothing to nobody, but because of the circumstances of that area, he found himself a victim there to a crazy idiot who was off the chain, Zimmerman. 2014, young Michael Brown, we talked about this previously on the show, should have been going to college, should have been, probably would have been finished right about now, oddly enough. But the circumstances of his urban American experience caused him to be in a predicament to where, sadly, he lost his life in Ferguson, Missouri, and it triggered a whole lot of things. 2015, young brother Freddie Gray in his 20s in Baltimore, Maryland, very similarly, found himself engaged in a situation that was terrible. So when you talk to young folks, and you start talking about God and talking about him delivering, they go, hold up now, wait a minute. I really don't have much patience for that. I ain't interested in that. Am I suggesting that you can't trust God? Absolutely not. What I'm saying is there's a need to balance the faith of our forefathers with the reality of our babies. Can I say that any better? Now, clearly, the rub is here between the traditions, the social realities and experiences, and the belief systems that have been taught, ideas, decades, confronted with certain socioeconomic realities, where if you don't have, when you get hungry, that will drive and motivate you sometimes to steal, to rob, and to do things that's contrary to the law. I'm not suggesting you have to do that, but if nobody's taught you how to establish yourself, how to position yourself to where you can take care of yourself from one generation to the next, guess what? It leaves you out there. Now, as it relates to the text that we read in James in the second chapter and the 16th verse, elders say to the young, depart in peace. Y'all go somewhere. Y'all be happy, right? Have faith in a better future and trust that things will get better. Just trust that. And the young generation is saying, right now, I'm cold. I'm hungry. I'm mad. And the only offer words The words you can give me is be warm, be serious, man. Get real. That dog will not hunt for us. That's where the young are. Listen to what Claude Gita said. Now, Claude Gita goes way back to along this, about 1968. And this is what a lot of our elders, this is where their mindset is. And then I want to open up the phone line. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. Talk straight. Balancing faith with action. Just for a second. Give us a call here. Join us right now.
If you believe, he'll fix it for you. I mean, how do you know that?
Yeah, sir. Just for a look. Listen to what Claude, the Reverend Claude Jesus. 1968, you sang these words.
I tried him, I know it.
I couldn't say, let me be quiet. Oh, my God. If what? All right, Paul. That's enough. You listen, talk straight. 657-383-0944. Get in where you fit in. Right now. We right here online. Look here. Say, Lord, I hear you, man. I hear you. Pastor Waller, I got you, man. Outcast, I hear you, man. Look, Jacksonville, Florida, do y'all believe? Do any of y'all believe? And what do you believe? Welcome to Talk Straight tonight. Now, let me pick on St. Louis for a second. Do you believe St. Louis? You know what I'm saying?
Believe in what? I believe in my men. When I put them out on a job, they're going to get it done safe without killing nobody and tearing up a bunch of stuff.
Okay, all right.
But you know, I want to say this.
What's that?
You made mention of two people.
Okay.
Trayvon Martin, Mike Brown.
Yes, sir.
Got to tell
yes,
the whole story.
Because. Okay.
When my daughter was a kid, me and her mama told her and her cousin that if y'all ever walking on the street and a stranger is following you, to run home or run someplace where people are.
Okay.
And see, that's why if that occurred, I don't know if it had in their life, they're still here today. You don't circle back around and try to fight a grown person. You don't know what they got. And you don't make derogatory, racist remarks on the telephone, which was used in the trial. And Mike Brown and his friends walking down the middle of the street, and a police cruiser is rushing to an emergency call. And as he finally gets through, he asked them to walk on the sidewalk, and they cuss him out. That started that. So there's always cause and effect, even in faith.
Okay.
You got to have faith that you, once you teach a young person and give them instructions on how to behave and what to do, that they follow those instructions.
Interesting.
And you just have to sit back and wait and see.
Okay. Now hold that thought right there, St. Louis. Let's bring another context in. You made a very interesting point that I hope you can bear with us here. You're down there in Jacksonville, Florida, right now, 3072. And I think that some of the same issues that were going on in Sanford are there in Jacksonville, predominantly African-American, right, 3072?
Yeah.
So do you see that dynamic where young people are not really lending themselves, their ear to the wisdom of being patient, being adherent, and things of that nature? Is that your experience since you've been there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay. What do you think? What the old folks say, you just trust God and God's going to fix all these things with your social interaction, you know? And these things are going to work themselves out. Just hold your head down and keep your hands clasped together and pray. Do you think that's enough, 3072?
No, certainly I don't think it's enough. I try to, and me being new to the city here, crime is rampant, and it's like, where do you go? It's in every corner of the city. But I try to teach my children, they're here, all three now, and they're young adults, and myself to try to stay safe. When you see a fool, you let them go on. So there's nothing that you can prove to a fool. You can try all day long, but you can't prove anything to them. So what you do in order to maintain your safety, your freedom, your everything, you do all that you can, but you yield and you give them the right of way to pass you. Let them go.
Interesting.
Now, at no point will I say that was Trayvon Martin's fault, you know, for that sick animal preying on him and having mental issues with race. I won't say that, but I would say that, yeah, there's things that we can teach the youth and each other on how to just stay safe.
Interesting. Now, OutKast, we live in a state, Tennessee, like Florida, that is a stand-your-ground state that says even if someone African-American is so abased as to approach you in a violent and a dangerous way, you don't have to run, and you have a right now to bear, protect yourself. What do you think about that, Al? Even if it's some young black person that's threatening you, what do you think about that?
I like your scenario, but you use black, but whites get aggressive too, so we're still standing your ground.
Yeah, yes,
cases are going on here in Nashville now. To where the homeless man was shot by a female, her daddy, her family got money, trying to get out. But I'm going to go back to the book of James. I'm going to go back to the Bible, you know. What I like about that book of James is this. James chapter 1 states this. God tempts nor tests. No. Am I correct? Am I not correct?
Yeah, you're in the book. Oh, you've been reading that book. I guess. Go ahead.
We skip around and we talk about certain things, but me, I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation 3 times. And, we often hit on certain things, but we talk about Trayvon Martin and things of that nature, but you were speaking about the book of James. James chapter 1, God tempts nor tests no one. Now, we can go back into facts concerning Trayvon Martin and things of that nature. He was a young man. We make mistakes. We have, some of us have a father in the house, a mother in the house.
Right.
Things of that nature. Now, I listen to St. Louis talking. But what about the girl that Trayvon Martin called? You know, she was somewhat, had an IQ about 67, 65 or a little lower.
That's
borderline retarded. And during the trial, she dunked him. You know, he was a person with a, she was retarded.
Well,
going back to the destructive of the, when they use numbers, to characterize your capable abilities and things of that nature. She was mentally retarded.
Okay.
IQ probably about 65, 66, 67. Even during the trial. She dunked him.
She killed
him. Supposedly, who called her? I'm sorry. Go ahead, ma'am.
No. I just wanted to say that all of those.
No, I was
going
to
say
the floor.
Okay. Were you trying to say something, 372?
Oh, no, I didn't. I was just going to, and it goes, wow, it wells pretty deep. Wasn't saying anything. Maybe he, Outcast thought I was. But, that's a great point. And what I'm getting from just this small dialogue here. Okay, so, wow, there's no blame really to place as far. Racism, I think, was the motive behind that whole thing. Now, and with someone mentioned Trayvon spewing racial epithets on the phone or whatever the case be, it runs both ways. But the difference is, it's like when Caucasians be racist to white people, they're justified and explained and, oh, it's okay and all this other stuff. But then they try to turn the table. When black people start to stress on the oppression that's been put on them, be it mentally or physically.
I see.
So then you got that argument to raise. But go ahead, please do.
No, may I say this? So you
yeah.
Cause, and I believe this may give some context to what St. Louis was saying. Because the reality is, in Sanford, Florida, 2 weeks before that incident, there was a break-in in the new subdivision. Well, it wasn't a new subdivision.
Right.
Blacks were just starting to move in there.
Right.
Florida is a retirement state, right? So a lot of people moved there, particularly whites moved there to retire. And they changed the regulations for the subdivision to where more blacks. Trayvon's father was, I understand, an educated man, a professional, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the young man didn't live there. So he was not aware of all of the issues with crime, particularly within the last 2 weeks. Within that last 2 weeks, when you read the police report and things of that nature, you'll find that some young black males around Trayvon's height, seemingly his age, in hoodies, had broken into a house and ran a white woman and her baby in the closet. So there was heightened awareness of this type of thing sadly, Trayvon was just there visiting his dad. He didn't know about all these, right?
Right.
And he certainly didn't know that this guy, Zimmerman, was going to take it upon himself to be judge, executor, and tour as well. He didn't know all
right,
of that.
Right.
So he was a victim of circumstance. The young lady and her IQ, just factor all that in. Again, it puts us where we are, where old folk are talking about believing in God and having faith and going to heaven one day. Young people on a daily basis are confronted with basic things. And I think St. Louis' point, I don't want to speak for him, is that had Trayvon understood that it's not up to you to challenge these things that are real, but you keep yourself safe. I think that was St. Louis, I'm, just for a second, am I... Hold on one second. Am I understanding you correctly, St. Louis?
Well, you know, I hate to tell you this, but you're making excuses for these things, Doc, and I really, that's really a bad thing.
Well,
let me see what I hear. That's what I hear.
Okay.
See, when you say that Martin, I mean, that Zimmerman was a judge and executioner, he was
a
citizen. Well, let me finish.
Okay, go
just like in St. Louis, in communities of Ferguson, you got blacks that's been living there for a long time.
Right.
And they concerned about their community.
Sure.
And when strange things are happening and crime is going on, they are concerned.
Okay.
Blacks have been in Ferguson for over 30, maybe 40 years. And they were satisfied that the police department was the composition that it was.
Okay.
Because the police was tough. And that's what they want in order to protect their interests.
I get you.
So
get you.
When these elements move into these communities, which are blacks, blacks flee. That's what they're doing in Ferguson. Because they don't want to have anything about do with that. They don't want their kids, children, to be subjected to these possibilities. I feel sorry for the lady in Jackson. If the crime is like she say, she's worried to death about her kids. I would be.
Well,
so we can't take up. You know, Doc, last week you had a lady, a black woman, two children, and a baby in a car. Here come two different cars with two black occupants in each other having running shootouts. And one of them shot and killed the woman.
Oh,
now, these three kids are growing up without a mother. The father long since left.
I take your point. St. Louis,
and the one, wait a minute. And see, here's the thing, because people was talking about this execution that happened recently, where the guy, the criminal said that the guy that ran away had nothing to do with it. That ain't the way the law is. Because the people in both of those cars, whether they were shooters or not, that hit the woman, they all four are going to be charged with murder, and rightfully so.
That's what the law is. That's what the law is. So, you know, I can't take issue with that. I can't take issue with what you're saying. That is true and factual. But I don't want to give the impression that I'm making excuses for anything. I am explaining some of the context of what happened in that situation. Now, I'm coming to you. 372 in St. Louis. I'm sorry. Outcast, I realize I don't want to.
Thanks.
But
okay, I'll wait.
I just want to say right quickly, what is key to remember is that law enforcement are commissioned by the government to use deadly force to execute the law, not individuals like Zimmerman.
Hello.
I know he was a self-imposed neighborhood watch guy. In fact, as I understand, the police told him, and down. But he took it upon himself to execute judgment, notwithstanding the fact that 2 weeks ago, a woman was forced into her closet with her child. I get that. That's terrible. All of it's terrible. My whole point is, these are the type of vicious circumstances young people across urban America seem to be finding themselves in, and nobody seems to be, not enough anyway, people seem to be explaining to them and guiding them and managing their time to where they're not directly in face of these things. That's the only point I'm trying. I'm not trying to make an excuse for anything or anybody. It's all sad. It's all sad. Outcast, let me go to 72 and come right to you. 37-2, you were trying to say something.
You want
to
go ahead?
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, let's go to race. Let's go to race. Now, let me talk about Zimmerman for a minute.
Okay.
What ethnic race is Zimmerman's mother?
I don't remember. I think he was mixed with Hispanic and white, I think it was. I don't know.
Okay. What about his daddy?
I believe his dad was Hispanic or Latino or something. I don't know. Let me not.
You know, you got a Jew, you got a Hispanic down there. Now, we're talking about race right now. I think that was a bad mixture. You got a Jew and you got a Hispanic.
Okay, come on.
That was a bad mixture.
Come on, bro.
It was a nasty mixture. Now, he's sitting up. He's talking to the Klansman, you know, with
what?
That 13th state cross flag, grinning and sniggling. And he think he got it in. And they'll buzz his head. They'll cut his throat quick.
Okay.
But since he's going against Negroes, we'll ride with you. But guess what? At the end of the day, like Judas, oh, you took them corn, we cutting your throat too. Now, it was a bad mixture in blood.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Speaking of race, you got a Jew, and you got a Hispanic. Who raised Zimmerman and his brother? It wasn't his Jewish daddy. It wasn't a Hispanic mama. Oh, that was his mama's grandmama raised him, didn't it? So that was bad appetite, too. And then you run up there around the white folk. He ran the white folk, and you did that? You a neighborhood watchman? He shouldn't even never own the gun. I'd have gave that gun to Barack Obama. I'm done.
Okay, all right. All right, let me bring Pastor Wally in. Pastor Wally, what do you think about this, man? I hear everybody's position. Okay, go ahead, Pastor. I'll let you take the floor.
Yeah, I'd like to say one thing about the premier thing that I've been listening to. I want to say one thing, and I'm gonna let you know exactly what I'm saying. There is a song that says, "How fast can you think the speed of thought?" When you react to something, you know, and you're reacting to it because of the thought, whether it's right or wrong, and if I say, okay, I'm shooting him because he's supposed to be over here, but he's out of place, and I'm shooting him, do that person have a right? Are they right? Or they just thought they was right?
Interesting.
You see, so that's what I'm hearing. You know, you kill this man because you say he's out of, if I'm walking down the street in a, quote, white neighborhood, am I wrong because I'm in a white neighborhood? Maybe I caught a flat, and I'm looking for somebody to help me. But they're not looking at that. They're looking at you're walking, you're black, and you're out of place. Is that fair? What kind of thought is that? And vice versa.
Okay.
Same thing for a person that's being over in a black neighborhood, and that person is white. You know what I mean? Is that person out of place? They just had a flat. So the thought is, what do you do with the thought that come about? Do you reach out to help them, or do you just automatically think that they're out of place?
Yeah. You know what? Okay. Go ahead. Let me let y'all finish, and then I'll. That's interesting, Pastor. But I do want to respond to that. But I don't want to take the I want to pull from, because 37-2 wanted to say something. But when you finish, Pastor, you can pass it on.
I'm done. I just was thinking about that, you know, when I was listening about what was said earlier, and I just go ahead, 37-2. I need to hear from you.
So I'm glad you're feeling better, Pastor Walla. So I think that, and excuse my language, the world is just going to hell in a handbasket, pretty much. Nobody owns anything. Wherever my money can afford for me to stay or live is where I am. So it is absolutely not right for me to go off of my emotions or feelings and to look out the window, and I see it all the time. I see somebody jogging in my complex, just for instance, at 4 a.m. in the morning. I'm wary. I don't care what color you are. I'm sorry. If I'm having to get out to work to get in my car, I'm watching you. I don't care what color. Black, right. Chinese, Sudanese, right. White. You to me are a threat because I don't know you, and you may be dangerous. Maybe you out there pretending to run so you can, I don't know. But for anybody to look at somebody that they didn't create, because God created us all, and to size them up and say what they will or what they won't do is just not right. I'm sorry. Now, yes, there's reason for caution in the world because we don't know. Barack Obama can turn out to be some ex-mass murderer. I don't know. All I know is the news been portraying him to be nice and highly educated. And right, so the man Zimmerman, I think, was totally wrong and off-kill. You're not the damn police. The police gave you instructions to stop. Leave him alone. And let's say that he was the individual that put that woman, that's horrible, and let me say that I am not condoning violence or thievery or nothing like that, but let's say he was the man. He wasn't enclosing nobody in a closet at that point. So is it important enough for you to take his life right then because you think it may be the one? No, you need to stop. People need to stop. Slow their road. Guys, stay in their lane.
Guys, hold tight.
That's all I'm saying. Go ahead.
Just stay right there. If we cut off, just stay with me. I'm gonna reconnect. We may have a little issue here.
What doctor?
Can y'all still hear me? Yes.
The police dispatcher is not the police.
No,
the dispatcher has no business giving nobody any orders, just suggestions.
Yeah, they do. They do have to.
They are not the police.
All right, hold on.
Here's another thing, Doctor.
Go ahead.
We heard of the Central Park Five in New York, right?
Yes, we have.
Guess what?
What's that?
In St. Louis, they got a Forest Park Five. Five black youth.
Okay.
Going to jump on this white guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they killed him. I'm not sure. But you had another case where you had, I think, three black youth going to try to jump on these joggers, which was white.
Okay.
And these joggers pulled out a gun and shot him.
Okay.
When you do things that you're not supposed to be doing, you are taking not only chances for yourself,
agree.
But you making it bad for people like you, Doc, because when I see you coming, I'm going to see those other ones that tried to do me harm.
And can I speak when he's done?
Yeah, let him finish, though.
So that is the cause and effect. Zimmerman went to trial.
Yeah.
A jury, which included blacks, found him not guilty.
Right.
He wasn't guilty.
That's what I was going to speak to.
Judge Rap Brown, and I can't think of his name, two sheriff deputies were serving him a warrant.
Okay.
He opened the door. He killed one and wounded the other.
Okay.
And I think he's still in jail. They didn't kill him.
Okay.
Both of the sheriff deputies was black. These people don't give a dang on about what color you are. They got evil in their heart. Malice.
Okay.
And I'm here to tell you that I carry. I'm licensed in two states.
Okay.
And I'd be doggone if I'm going to let somebody kill me or do harm to me without me doing some back harm to them. I'm here to say that, and I would expect there. See, before there was any Bible or any laws, there was a natural law of self-defense.
Okay.
That's why some animals have certain peculiarities about them, either claws or sharp teeth, for self-defense.
Okay.
And if it's good for the animal, well, being that humans are a higher level animal, it's good for them.
Okay. All right. So, St. Louis, the only thing that I would say is this. To your earlier point that the dispatchers are not police. They work for the police department. So while
so do the janitor.
Hold on one second. So they're part of the first response plan, the law enforcement. And part of what they do is to help people that are in crises to know how to help the police respond to crises.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're there. And when the when the officer, she's not a commissioned officer in that regard, but when she gave directives to Zimmerman to allow the police to come, you just observe and report, and she will pass that information to them. That's what he should have done. And he wouldn't have put himself in a situation where he was taking something from his life. Did you understand
what
I'm saying?
Doctor, to say that he should have done that is no more, is just like saying Trayvon Martin should have went home. They had a trial.
Well,
all that was brought out, and they found that he did nothing wrong in regard
of
taking orders from a dispatcher.
They said, look, that's not exactly true. What they found is that the district attorney overcharged him because they could not prove without reasonable doubt that Trayvon Martin intended and premeditatedly came to, not Trayvon Martin, Zimmerman, intended to kill Trayvon Martin that day. In his mind, perhaps, he was looking for whoever the black people are that were called
the black people.
But they couldn't prove that he was trying to kill Trayvon Martin. And that was the burden of proof of capital murder.
And we shouldn't say he was trying to, because using self-defense.
No.
He said he was.
Here's what self-defense is. Self-defense, by statute, is when you did not provoke an action and you found yourself having to defend yourself. And
no, but Trayvon Martin circled around and came back on this man.
But here's the point I'm trying to make, and I don't want to really stay on that too long.
Because I already done told you my position. The young man, unfortunately, he's dead.
Let me tell you my position. My position is this. Zimmerman, he came. He was getting his butt whooped. He couldn't stand it. And he was out of line anyway. Zimmerman was totally out of line, like Reverend Doctor was saying, at the end of the day. He's sitting down there hollering like a scalded dog, getting his butt whooped. You got a gun? Oh, did you shoot the young boy? No. He went to that fight. Zimmerman went to that fight at the end of the day.
He
brought
it.
Brung it on. He couldn't stand it.
I think so. Yep.
You got a Jew and you got a Hispanic. Not a good mixture. I'd take Barack Obama. I'm done.
But look, guys. Here's the sad thing.
What about that other case, Docket?
With Brown, you mean?
Well,
no, the case where these two black men go into this black woman's house trying to get money. And she had two little boys in there.
Yeah.
They took the little boys and cut both of their heads off right in front of the woman and stabbed her.
Terrible.
That was terrible. That was vicious.
Awful.
That was barbaric.
And they were dogs.
It doesn't matter what their ethnicity is.
They were
never
dogs.
Happen. They should face the full mess of the law.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
What I'm speaking to is the fact that too often, I'm concerned that too often we find our youngest people. I mean, right here in Nashville, we got 10-year-olds engaged in carjacking with weapons. With weapons. I mean, come on.
Are they listening to their parents?
I wanted to weigh in.
Okay,
look at that gang of blacks in New York that jumped on that black girl and robbed her and kicked and beat her up on the street.
St. Louis, you're making my point that too often it's all over, and especially in areas where there are African Americans involved. That's my whole point, sir. And I'm saying, and I'm coming to you, 3072, I'm saying that while those of us who have faith, and we've practiced that faith for years, while we're engaged in that faith, somehow it's not transferring and helping us to keep our young people guided by that faith.
And can I tell you why?
I'm coming to you. And faith, that's all I'm saying. Let me go to 72 because she has it. I think she's ready to. Go ahead, 72. What were we going to say?
Now, it's being pointed out a lot of disturbing, dysfunction for black criminal crime.
Yes.
But again, at one point, I was posting things here just randomly, news stories. And so while we focus on the black crimes and the things that blacks are doing, still the majority, and these are horrific, sick things that I see, I get the daily news. What about the white crime?
Some of them, a lot of them,
are against black people too. You got a woman here on my island that came up missing by a white contractor. This man done swindled this woman out of $20,000. And when she was just trying to get, he hadn't done the work, her money or the work, you know, he killed her and then dumped through her body in a landfill somewhere. There is story upon stories of the white people, but somehow, there's sympathy for them. They're given a very fair trial. They're given a they're given all the benefits and all the reasons that one could have. And I'm not saying that any crime is right, white or black. Out here in my community, again, like I was telling you about joggers and all of that other stuff, that I'm very leery, more so to see them than my own, because I don't know which angle you're coming from. I see a black man, I could think maybe he's just trying to rob me. This person may just have a hate for my skin color. This person may just have some psychological, psychotic issues. I mean, come on. So it goes again, don't just point out the blacks, but that's what the media is portraying because we're the minority.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to see. So, that's what's making Fox News and all that other.
So 3072, I take your point.
Mm-hmm.
I think you, believe it or not, you and St. Louis are in agreement with one another by and large. And the reality that these are all very tragic, it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are.
No, well, we're not in agreement because what I'm getting, please.
Can you listen?
Yeah, for sure. Right. Sure, I'm sorry.
Right. I started by saying I think, not that. That's right. But I think that if you look at what you're saying, these terrible acts that we see from any ethnicity, what's the Hispanic group, the gang, MS-13, recently engaged in some very brutal, vicious type stuff. They're Hispanic. They're Latino. It doesn't make a difference who it is. We happen to be talking about the plight in urban America, where it's predominantly African-American communities and predominantly African-American young people that are caught up in these situations. Now, what happens often is there tend to be, I must admit, excuses made and to kind of wash away the gravity of the circumstance. We don't need to do that. We need to be brutally honest with ourselves and say to ourselves, maybe we need to get off our knees for a second. Don't throw your Bible away. Close it and set it to the side and get your butt out there. Take care of business on the street and get these young folks out of the street and stop them from not only killing other innocent people but killing one another. That's the cold reality. Now, if your faith can't do that, it's dead.
Now, and
you know
I think it may be Docket.
Docket Reed. Dockery, what's that?
Dockery?
Yes, sir.
I think it's a curse. I've heard Hebrew Israelites say it's a curse.
Well, I would
see. Hang on for a second. Let me explain. Everybody want to cut me off in mid-sentence, but it's all right. I understand. See, the things that Africans done on the continent that caused them to be expelled and gotten rid of by their own people, sold off and shipped off. those were some horrendous things they done.
Okay.
And they
okay.
never did pay restitution.
Mm-hmm.
And today you are living, like you said, in those areas with other blacks. That's the descendants of the ones that was expelled to this part of the world. That's karma, Dockery. That's karma.
I hear what you're saying. I don't agree with you fully, but I hear what you're saying. Okay? I hear your point. I hear your point. Now, this part I would agree with you, St. Louis. Malachi 4:6 says, unless the hearts of fathers are returned to the hearts of their children, that the earth is going to be smoked with a curse. And I'm in full agreement.
You want me to put it plainer? What the Bible
huh?
say? Let me put it a little
Malachi,
bit plainer.
Malachi,
I understand, but let me give you one.
Okay, go ahead.
The sins of the father will follow the son.
Yes, sir. You're in the book, man. You're in the book. That's it. I have to agree with you there, big brother. I'd be a fool to say you're lying there. Here's the thing, though. In 2020, if Donald Trump, if the governor of your state, if the mayor of your city, if your local council people are not willing, and your juvenile courts, your criminal courts are not willing, if your public schools are not willing or not interested or not able to save your children, why don't we do it ourselves? What's our problem? Those are our babies. Is that right, Outcast? They belong to us, man. They belong to us. I mean, that ought to be the greatest motivation for us to go all out for it. That's all I'm saying. Now, the truth of the matter is they're in a tough spot. They're in a tough spot. And watch this. These are babies. They don't even know how to pee straight. That's why so many innocent people get killed when they call themselves using a weapon. They ain't never learned how to use. They ain't never been in no military camp, none of that. But yet they walk around. Why is it? And I asked the question, and some people didn't like when I was a candidate, but it was real. Why is it that these gun owners that are selling these weapons are not held to account when their stores get broken in and they wind up on the black market on the street? Brand new high power weapons in the hands of babies. Doggone it, they know what's going on. Send them to jail. If you can't control, if you have to sit there all night and guard your gun store to make sure that don't happen. I'm just saying now, I am a licensed gun owner myself. Okay, so don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying. Now, the truth of the matter is some of these little jokers, I love them, like peanut butter, little jelly, Outcast, but they just need a little top. That's all. Okay, I'm going to be quiet, St. Louis. You got me all in my feelings. No, but that's where we are.
That's it.
37-2. You there?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm here.
I want you to, in a very calm way, explain to me why we should not tell it like it is about our children. I heard what you said.
Why we should not?
Yes. In a very calm way, explain to me why I should not lay it out just like it is with some of the actions. I know what I heard about what you said with whites, and I know that Hispanics engaged in some things. But explain to me like it is.
I can't explain that to you because the truth is the light. I can't. But in being truthful, then you need to be truthful around the board, across the board.
That's right.
And we should not, again, and I think that is part of the problem. I mean, it's good to put love and to watch over your own love, home or community or whatever, but when you just focus solely on that, then you lose what? Information, sight, viewpoint, and all the other stuff on what's going on around you. So, man, in life, there should be a balance. I mean, yes, I'm going to put all that I can into my children.
Okay.
But I got to watch out for other things other than my children, too, so that I can be able to bring home necessary goods that may be nourishing to them.
That makes sense.
For them to be sustained and grow and all of the other stuff. So when we are just honing in solely on, the black community doing this wrong, and, those things need, excuse me, They need to be addressed. While at the same time, I need to be vigilant and know what the white community is doing wrong, too. So at the end of the day, maybe somebody can get it right. And we talk about studies. We talk about studies, figures, and all of that other stuff. We got all that for hours. But again, we're not taking into account that we are a minority, and so all eyes is on us, which is making issues and problems look like it's way bigger than what it is.
Well, in proportion, though, 30, 72, when you do demographic studies and sociological studies, what you look at is one population in comparison or proportion to another. And you got to ask yourself, if you have 100 people that you're looking at, why is it that a large percentage of that 100 are going to have a certain set of issues compared to another population that may have 100?
Well,
you understand?
And possibly, yes, I do understand what you're saying.
Okay.
The answer to my question when I ask myself that, I have to take into a fact, too, is like a bad child that's in the class. When we're giving so much attention to him, what is he going to do? Feed off of that. Negative
That's
attention.
True.
He is doing bad. He is doing wrong and all that other stuff. However, maybe it would be a little bit therapeutic even just to kind of ignore him somewhat while teaching him how to do the right thing, while not just keep putting, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
You know what, Dockery?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, St. Louis, because I was going to come to you.
This comparison is flawed. It's flawed. You're comparing blacks with whites. No.
Okay.
Compare blacks with blacks. You got hard-working, decent black families.
Good point.
Have no problem in their community whatsoever. It's them other blacks. And y'all know it. It's the truth.
Right.
It's them other blacks that come into this community like they did in Ferguson and cause all kind of heck and hell. Luke 11:21 says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe.
Amen, Walt. Amen. Behind the strong man, you can take the whole house. That's right. Now, St. Louis, I was gonna come to you, sir. We've been talking long enough, I think, for me to be a bit presumptuous here, okay? And if I am, just stop me and correct me. I shut up and listen. I presume that you tried to reach out to young people, people of similar social experience and ethnicity, and it has failed to the point that you've just given up on, and you don't know what else to do for them. Am I wrong in my premise in there, in my presumption?
I'm selective, Dockery, because some of these people will kill you even though you're trying to help them.
You better say that. I was watching a video, guys, that I happened to run across when I was looking at some of my old podcast show, right? And it was a recent one of a, looked like he couldn't have been a day over 10 years old, this little boy, it's on YouTube. And the child was apparently caught up in some sort of, he was with someone. If he didn't shoplift, I don't know. I don't want to inappropriately charge him with anything. But nonetheless, the police and the officers from the store had him in the back room, and he just talking crazy, threatening to whip everybody. And the whole time, he's bragging about how many views he had on Facebook for his inappropriate behavior. And so, St. Louis, I appreciate what you're saying. At 10 years old, listen to his conversation, and you can tell that he's been sitting listening to somebody in his immediate social environment with a lot of the conversation that he was having. He wasn't old enough to understand a lot of the stuff he was talking about. Obviously, he had heard that from somebody. And that's all I'm saying, that there needs to be balance. Now, I guess the fact that 3072, because I'm Negro, black, or colored, if you will, however you want to put me on there. that speaks to my experience, and I can't come from that. I did come from that, not can. And that's why it's an immediate concern for me. Now, in white communities and in other ethnicities, I would assume that they address these things in their own way. I know of a lot of my friends who are white and other ethnicities. Many times, like St. Louis say, they choose to just move away from it and oftentimes gate themselves into their own community so they don't have to deal with it.
I would say for that, there's nothing wrong with them choosing to do that. There's something wrong with them, though, running out, trying to take the law into their own hands and causing harm to other people, because then you are no better than the people that you call yourself gating yourself from. You ain't no better than them.
Well, that's not what the Bible say. It says if a thief is caught breaking in at night and is struck a fatal blow, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. God himself give you the right to do it.
Okay. And, need to not take the Bible so literally. I think a lot of times people just read word for word and not have a clear understanding of exactly what it meant. The text that they were speaking from. But go ahead.
Well, you can't get no clearer than that.
Okay.
Stay with me one second. 72, stay with me. St. Louis, can you give us a scriptural reference so we can get
Exodus 22:2-3.
Okay, so this is in the law of Moses, right? And this was designed to manage the social interaction and behavior of the Israelites. Would you agree with that?
That's telling you as a people. As a matter of fact, it's also in the meta nature. You got a right to protect your own property, your family, and your own belongings.
Who's saying that? I'm talking to you, lady.
Well, you're not supposed to be talking. You're not the host of this show.
Ain't either. You act like
I'm talking to Mr. Dockery.
You act like you are.
And you're putting a bad example to kids.
And you're putting a bad example to yourself.
Okay. Hold on one second.
Because you know it all. And you should understand.
It's obviously a passionate conversation. And it's worthy of some conversation. Now, everybody's not going to agree on it, but the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, the facts are the facts. Facts are the facts. It bothers me and it disturbs me to have to acknowledge that these are folk who come from relative similar experience. Now, I don't value that. And because I care about them, I want to make sure that in all times, people are held to account. And you do have a right to defend yourself, to protect yourself. Now, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how young you are, what circumstances you're coming up out, you still don't have a right to cross someone else and make their life miserable or put their life in jeopardy and harm. That's just the fact. Now,
and you're right.
No one else has a right to do the same thing to you. Now, interestingly enough, because we're in close quarters and we tend to be forced to interact with one another, what we find more often than not is that the victims are the people that look like us, that are closer to us. Now, here's what we find with gentrification, that the crime seems to be moving outside of the concentrated area. And people that are moving in that area that was once fully concentrated with a certain subgroup of people now are becoming victims because they are treading the ground to take over the area. It's sad. It's not fair. It's not right. But it's a reality. When I was running for office, that was one of the hotbed issues about public safety and about the growth in crime rate in certain areas, certain neighborhoods. I want to say this delicately, you should understand that these types of things have been going on in these areas for decades. And sadly enough, it seems no one was really concerned about solving it. But when a new group comes in and they become a victim likewise, now all of a sudden we want to do something about it.
I can understand that too, Dockery. Before this new group came in, see, here's the thing. Blacks who try to mobilize themselves become dismobile by their own looking, their own kind. And I ain't going to say their own kind, people that look like them. Because these black criminals wouldn't be doing this in a white community because they can't blend in and hide.
Okay, that's true.
You wouldn't go to Russia and do that stuff because you can't blend in and hide. Russians wouldn't come to the hood because they can't blend in and hide.
Okay.
So they are called, you know, I see young black women, girls, you know, coming out of high school, get a job, get a car so they can go back and forth to work. They come out the next morning, somebody done ran in their car, knocked it all up on the sidewalk in the yard.
Right. Yes, sir.
That girl is immediately set back by some fool.
Okay.
Now, everybody talk about being African. I'm going to tell you something. That stuff don't go on over there. Because when they call the police come out with a pickup truck. And you know why they come out with a pickup truck? The answer,
picking up
a criminal. Because they're going to throw that dead body in the back of that truck. Mm. They don't play. You got drug houses in your community you can only look at and pray that they go away. You know what they do over there? They burn that family out.
Okay. St. Louis, I'm going to share something with you. I was in the Bahamas last week, and the taxi driver that was taking us from one point to another, he asked where we were from. So we told him, he says, I stopped watching First 48 because black people killed too many black people over there. And I thought that was interesting. Now, he was darker than I am. And he was saying,
oh, you think that's something?
You
know what the Bahamian president said? You know what the president of Bahamas said? He said he didn't want blacks coming to his country with that mess.
Sure. I got you. One thing about it, though, is the social orientation. But see, when you look at their history, they are people who fought for liberation. Finally got it in, 73? Finally got it. They fought for liberation. And a brother by the name of Sir Butler was one of those who really fought hard. They appreciate that because they realized that for too long they were under British rule and oppression and, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know if sometimes we take things for granted, though, opportunities that seemingly come free. Somebody's paying for it. Taxpayers.
I think these people curse, man.
We are facing, I agree with you that there is a curse, but the good news is there's hope to reverse the curse. That's the good news. There's hope to reverse.
And you know how I see that hope? In what you're trying to do with your program.
Yes, sir. That's why we're doing it, St. Louis. And guess what? I'm getting some opposition from some of my people. Because it's not consistent with the status quo. It's not, to do that, you can't just go along and get along with what you're told to do. You understand? It's time out for our people saying we believe in God and allowing other people to steer us down a primrose path to destruction. Because their intent, really, is to manipulate the devil out of you and keep you in a position where you're dependent on them for action and reaction to everything. And that's why we were talking about balancing faith with action. If what you say you believe, it's not getting you somewhere. That's really what Carter G. Woodson was talking about in The Miseducation of the Negro. He was simply saying that his whole thesis was, if you go and you get an education and it does not empower you to liberate and to be independent and self-sufficient, that education does you no good. You've been miseducated and misinformed. That's the whole point of education, to bring out that which is within you to position you to be independent. I mean, I don't know.
Well, yes, you're supposed to be independent so you're not a drain on society.
Well, absolutely. I was going to, if you give me a second to say, look, 372, am I unfair for taking that position that to hold all of us accountable, starting with myself now?
No, I don't think that. And I don't think you're being unfair.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I just want to know, though, you know, people have these standards that they hold other people to, but they don't hold themselves to. They speak out of turn. They talk whenever they want to, and they're only upset when somebody is cutting them off, but they're not upset when they're cutting other people off. Now, and I think that we need to be careful with, you were talking about getting off of our knees and all of that and making sure that, you know, things is lined up with, you know, outside of the Bible. But that's part of the problem today, that we have off of our knees, that we have gotten off of our knees, and that God has been taken out of the school, and that the youngsters don't have a higher power that they're looking up to. That there is no hope beyond the empty refrigerator, or the dad that's gone from the home, or the mom that's on crack, or there's nothing there that's been instilled or placed or nowhere for them to run to even. I think that is the problem. So we should not, and that's what the devil wants us to do, is to say, see, I told you, there is no God, it don't work. And we need to just focus on the world and society and what you can physically see and get your hands on, which is truly absolutely nothing, even when you're making $200,000 and $300,000 a day. So either you'll be upset about being in poverty, or you'll be upset about being in middle class, or you'll be upset with being rich. Yeah, you always going to have some issues or some problems in life. It's just finding that balance. And when you balance things out, then that's when people experience true happiness and peace.
So can I say something? You're making a good point. And I'm glad that you brought the word balance into a conversation. Because I'm not advocating that you get rid of faith practice, or tradition. In fact,
it sounded like you were saying that at first.
No. All right, listen to me for a second. What I'm saying is, while people are on their knees,
mm-hmm.
praying, their children are out either destroying or being destroyed. Okay? Some of these same people have been from generation to generation engaging in the same type of passive behavior. But I want to say to you that the same God that they're praying to have given them answers, mm-hmm. but they are not mm-hmm. acting on it. Because they're not balancing the word of truth that's already spoken for itself, and linking that to the reality of where you are right now today.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm saying. And
can I say what I think is another part of this? Okay. Okay. Sure.
Stay with me for a second. When I look at what Hebrews 11:1 talks about, it says, now faith is the substance.
Mm-hmm.
When we exegete, or we thoroughly look at how that word substance is used in the context, it really has to do with the experience that the believer is in. It's the basis of your knowledge and your subtotal experience that leads you to believe. If you continue acting, following a certain protocol, principle,
mm-hmm.
a certain order, that you will
mm-hmm.
it will yield you certain results. That's
mm-hmm.
action. And that's mm-hmm. balancing faith with action. That's what Paul
yeah.
was talking about in Hebrews 11:1. But too many people are putting the cart before the horse. They want the result and don't put the work in. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. Yeah.
But the Bible left me, and then I'll go to you. The Bible also said, watch as well as pray, that you enter not into temptation. That tells me it's going to take a little bit more than being on your knees closing your eyes. You have to get up and put some work in. You have to do some work. But go ahead. I yield the floor to you. And Pastor Wallace back with us now. Go ahead, Senator.
I'm sorry.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, and what else I was going to say is, and so often that many are not believers, and many think that, again, it's all buffoonery and tricks and voodoo, whatever they think, whatever their idea is, and they're the ones with money oftentimes, and they leading other people's thoughts and views. So it's not popular, it's not common. They don't agree, or they make, you know, whatever the point is. So they leading you to, okay, maybe I was a devout, true believer that I know, like you said, my experiences with being a believer in God and faith and all that has been real, but it's not popular and it's not getting me money or endorsements or contracts or this and that. So I'll change this. I'll take this out. I'll say this, or I'll just not say anything on this issue just to try to move forward, to move ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's failing us. That's why the children are being lost.
Okay. Right.
Well, you
nothing
know what, Doctor?
Nothing true and real is being. I'm not through talking, sir. Can
okay.
I have the
all
floor,
right.
please?
You still got the floor. Go talk. Don't
you
talk
know
me.
He keeps talking about people cutting him off, but
okay.
it's okay 30, for him to do it.
Stay focused and say what you want to say. I want to hear. We want to hear.
I'm done now. Talk. Now I done lost. I'm good. He can go ahead. Take it.
You know what, Dockery?
What's that?
My kids believed in me. They never had a day to go hungry. It was always a daddy, a father there.
Uh-huh.
To keep them lined, to expose them, and provide them with resources.
Okay. All right.
And see, these are tried, proved, and tested methods on how to raise families. And when you stray away from that, outcomes are not always pleasant.
Okay.
And dust is a plague that exists in a portion of a certain society.
Okay.
That's why you got to do what you got to do.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Right quick.
Unfortunately, that's where it is, and you have to protect yourself from that.
Right. Okay. I'm looking at the time board here, guys, and I realized that we had the show pre-time because I was out of the country for the regular time for an hour and a half. So that leaves us only with a couple of minutes here. So I hate to, but we're going to have to kind of wrap our discussion up tonight. Mm-hmm. Great conversation, balancing faith with action. That's what we've been talking about. I hope that when somebody goes back and listens to this, and thank you, Sister Lewis, on Facebook and others who follow us, I hope that they can really take something away from this because we have a responsibility ourselves to our young. And with that being said, listen, thank you, guys. I'm sorry I had to cut off. Pastor Waller, you want to wrap us up here? And we'll be back Thursday night. If this chance will be on our regular time Thursday because the other side is affected by the storm, so they won't be open. So we'll have our regular 7 o'clock show. Pastor Wally, you want to give us a final wrap up there?
I would say to everybody, you know, just stay tuned. I mean, because what happened when a person learned what the Word of God says, you know, and you did it with one accord, you know, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29 states very clear. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So it's all about the learning and where do you get your information from. So put God first, trust him, lean and depend upon him and let him guide you. That would be my suggestion.
All right.
That means I don't want to trust me. You know, I don't want to trust me. I just don't. Not fair.
You gave up.
It's not fair. Yeah. It's not fair, man. Not for me now. It's not fair.
I guess.
Because I can't trust him and me at the same time. I can't do it. It's not going to work. That's for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I've learned that. Yeah. I didn't know it at first, but I learned that. And I'm okay with it now that I've learned it and it works for me. So I just continue to press on and say, make sure, Ricky, don't you trust you now. No. Good or bad, up or down, right or wrong, whether I like it or not, just don't trust you.
It helps. It is what it is. All right. Well, I'm sorry about that, guys, but we're going to get cut short here. Join us Thursday, 7 o'clock. Let's go with 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight. Thank you for joining us tonight. That I love. sing his praise.
To sing his praise. Tonight is
yeah.